Now, I'm sure all of us have seen images of the athletes running at the Olympic Games. I'm sure some of you have been thrilled. You've been caught up with the whole excitement of the Olympic Games. You've been with it all the way. Others, perhaps, are maybe a wee bit fed up, a wee bit glad to know that they're finishing today. Well, in these verses, the writer to the Hebrews thinks of the Christian life as a race. Being a Christian, he says, is like being an athlete running in a race. And this is quite a familiar picture that the New Testament uses for the Christian life. As we were thinking with the children, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." And also in Acts 20, verse 24, he says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race." So the Christian life is a race. And this is a race that if you're a Christian, you are already enrolled in. You're signed up. You are running in this race. Every newly born individual, every person who is born again, who belongs to Jesus Christ, is enrolled in this race. Think again of those Olympic Games. Race after race takes place. Many of them very long, very difficult. And you see an athlete and he's panting. He's tempted to drop out, but he keeps going. You can see the pain on his face, and he goes on and on and on. And in the Christian race, when they finish, each athlete enters into his reward and takes their place in the stands. That's what the writer speaks of in verse 1. When they finish, they remain in the stands to watch those who are still running. It's this great cloud of witnesses, the spectators. He's speaking about all those people in chapter 11 and more, all those who have gone before us and passed into glory. They're there in the stands and they're watching and they're cheering. And it's now your turn to take the track. All eyes are on you. You're being watched and observed by those who have successfully finished. And you know that you will not face anything that they have not already faced. And that's encouraging. But still you ask yourself, am I going to make it? Will I make the finish line? Or am I going to falter? Am I going to have to drop out? Am I going to be able to last the distance? That's what the Hebrews were thinking. They were on the verge of giving up. They were asking, how can we keep going? What's the secret of running the race well and safely arriving at the finish? What's the secret of running the Christian life well? And this is what the writer is seeking to tell us in these three verses. And it's vitally important, friends, that we take his teaching to heart. These few verses show us a difference between keeping going and entering into our reward or dropping out and not receiving the reward. Paul gives us some rules, three rules for successfully running the Christian race. Firstly, he says to run the Christian race, we must get into shape. To run the Christian race, we must get into shape. And he says two things in this regard. He writes, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. These are two separate things. We must throw off everything that hinders. We must lay aside every weight, as another version puts it. You've watched the athletes coming onto the track, and you see them taking off their tracksuits, and they've got their vests and their shorts on. They don't want anything to slow them down or to hold them back. The marathon takes place today. Picture the start of the marathon. You've got the lean, muscular Kenyans and Ethiopians. They're there at the front. They're waiting for the starting gun. And then, to your surprise, there's this fat, chubby guy wearing a coat, a pair of jeans and hiking boots, and he's got a rucksack on. And the interviewer goes to him, "Why, what's in the rucksack?" "Well, it's enough coke and enough snacks to keep me going the whole way." You're thinking, not a chance. This guy doesn't have a hope of finishing, never mind winning this race. Because these weights are hindering him. They're holding him back. And the weights that the writer speaks of, he distinguishes them from the sin. So there's nothing wrong in and of themselves in these weights, but they simply keep us running from as we should. If that guy at the start of the marathon got rid of those heavy hiking boots and put on a pair of trainers, he would run better. The boots aren't wrong in and of themselves, but they hold him back. They hinder him. There are some things in the Christian race that are not wrong in and of themselves, but they hinder us. And they hinder our spiritual effectiveness. They weaken our faith. They dampen our zeal. Weights that we must throw off. It could be a sport. It could be a hobby. It could be a job. It could be an ambition of yours. It could be a place, a book. It could be a friendship. And if it gets in the way of our running the race, the serious Christian should lay it aside. Are these things in our way? Are they in the way of greater faith and greater love and greater purity and greater courage and greater humility? Does it help us run? Or are they in the way? Young people, don't ask about your music and your movies and your parties and your habits. Don't ask what's wrong with them. But ask, does it help me run? Does it help me run the race? Does this thing, does this person, does this activity help me to run with Jesus? That's a good question for all of us to put to our activities and our habits and our hobbies. Does this help me to run with Jesus? If it hinders, if it holds us back, if it's a weight, friends, the wise believer will lay it aside. We must get into shape, and that means laying aside these weights. But it also means laying aside every sin that so easily entangles. Now, when we turn to the matter of sin, the situation is much more serious. The hindrances, they weigh us down, but the sins, what do? Look at the text. They so easily entangle. They entangle us so that we're in danger of being brought down. In biblical times, the people wore long robes. You couldn't run with a long robe entangling your legs. You either had to pull it up and tuck it into your belt, or you had to cast it totally aside. Friends, in the same way, we must get rid of all sin in our lives if we want to run well. Sin entangles us. It entangles us. Think, for instance, about King David. Think how quickly a great man like David fell. He allowed his heart to lust after Bathsheba. And how entangled he became. He was running brilliantly. But then sin entangled him and took him down. Friend, don't think that you can hold on to anything that you know to be sinful and still run the race well. Don't think that you can hold on to anything that you know to be sinful and you can still run the race well. At best, it will slow you down, and at worst, it will cause you to stumble. Give it up. Give it up. The more attached you are to it, the more important it is that you get it out of your life. You can't run the Christian race well if you keep tripping over your sins. So we must get into shape. That's laying aside the weights that hinder us and laying aside the sins that trip us up. But then a second rule we're given. To run the Christian race, we must run with endurance. We must run with endurance. The writer says the Christian life is a lifelong, grueling race. It's not an easy stroll, and so he uses the word run. And there are many difficulties along the way, and we will be tempted to drop out. And so he uses the word run with endurance, or run with perseverance. This isn't a short sprint we're talking about here. This is a long distance race, and we need endurance. And the word for race here is an important word. It's the word agona. We get our word agony from it. That tells us a lot, doesn't it? This word race, we get our word agony from it. This isn't a sprint. It's not a dash. It's an agonizing marathon. It will demand every ounce of energy you have. Amos said in Amos 6 verse 1, "Woe to them that are at ease." Woe to them that are at ease. This is a race. There's no place for standing still or strolling. This is a race, and it's agony. It's an agonizing, relentless event, and it's lifelong. And it will need endurance. And that's the key word here, this word endurance or perseverance. No one enters a marathon with a thought of dropping out after a mile. We need endurance. And running with endurance requires adopting a certain mindset. If you have in mind that you're only running a 400 meter race, you're not going to do very well when the other runners keep on going after 400 meters. You need to know that it's a marathon. And this is what Jesus meant when he talked about counting the cost of following him. He says, count the cost before you make a commitment to become a Christian. Think it through. Are you willing to put in the effort, the sweat, the endurance, the pain of going the distance? If not, don't start the race, because you will look pretty silly when you drop out after 400 meters. The only way to keep going in the race of faith is to run with endurance. It's having the state of mind that says, whatever happens, however I feel, whether I am on my own or in company, even if I am laughed at, even if it costs me everything, I will keep going. And I will keep going to the end. Endurance. Now, to run like this, to endure like this, we need motivation, don't we? We need something to help us and to motivate us along the way. But where do you get the motivation to run this Christian marathon? Well, the writer gives us a great source of motivation. And so thirdly, his third rule is in verses 2 and 3. He says, to run the Christian race, we must look to Jesus. To run the Christian race, we must look to Jesus. And this is the supreme motivation for running the Christian race. To place our eyes not on the world, not on the cloud of witnesses, not even on ourselves, but on the Lord Jesus, Him who is the source and fountain of all spiritual energy. And there's no circumstance for which this isn't a reliable guide. Look to Jesus. There's no situation, there's no temptation for which this isn't a reliable guide. Look to Jesus, the writer says. Now, of course, we can't see Him. But looking to Him means looking to Him as He set forth in the Word of God. The writer gives us three reasons in these verses. These verses are packed. But he gives us three reasons for looking to Jesus and considering Him. He says, look to Jesus because of who He is. Because of who He is. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. As the author, Jesus is the originator of our faith. He is the source of our faith. He's the reason we have faith. He gives us faith. It can also mean He's the leader or the captain of our faith. He's going before the troops. He's showing the way. He's the pioneer, the trailblazer, the forerunner. This word, author. But then He's also the perfecter, or the finisher, as some versions put it. He accompanies us through every stride of the race. And He welcomes us at the end. He gives us strength for every step. He's the one who brings our faith to completion, the perfecter. So we should look to Jesus because of who He is. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. That shouldn't motivate us. But then we should look to Him because of what He has done. That's the second reason we should look to Jesus. Because of what He has done. Jesus has Himself run this race. He has run it. What kept Him going? What was the outcome for Him? Well, He went through the unspeakable pain of the cross and all the shame that went with it. But He looked forward and He looked upwards. He never lost sight of the road that would lead to the joy that would at last be His. He never lost sight of the goal. And at last He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to Him because of what He has done. He has endured more than we will ever have to endure. He's endured more than we will ever have to endure. He endured the wrath of His Father. He endured the opposition of sinners who cried out for His execution. He endured the suffering and the shame of the cross. Do we feel looked down upon by unbelievers? Do we feel despised and rejected because we're Christians? Well, the opposition that we will face will never come close to that which the Lord Jesus endured. And this should help us. It should motivate us to run the Christian race because of what He has done. We should look to Jesus because of who He is, because of what He has done. And thirdly, in verse 3, because of what will happen if you don't look to Him. Because of what will happen if you don't look to Jesus. If you don't look to Jesus, the writer says, you will get weary, you will lose heart, and you'll drop out. Little by little, you will lose strength. Fixing your eyes on Jesus is the key to not growing weary and not losing heart. And perhaps this morning you need to refocus on Jesus. And you need to refocus on the joy of receiving that crown of righteousness we were thinking about with the children. Maybe some of you are feeling weary this morning. Maybe some of you are losing heart. You've been running the race for such a long time. Perhaps you're feeling weary. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He will not let you drop out. Keep thinking of the crown of righteousness which he will award you on that day. Consider him. Look to him. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Keep looking to Jesus. But friends, listen. If you have never put your faith in the Lord Jesus, you aren't even in the race. You're not even in this race. And if you're not in this race, you will not win the prize. And that sin that so easily entangles Christians, that sin will do much more for you. It will not only entangle you, but it will cast you into an eternal hell. And so you too should look to Jesus and consider him. Christians, how is your race going? Do you need encouragement this morning? Well, let me challenge you to get your eyes back on Jesus. Stop looking at the other runners. Stop looking at the circumstances through which you're running. Look to Jesus this morning. Get rid of those weights, that baggage that you're carrying. Strip off those besetting sins and run with endurance. And as you run with Jesus, the writer to the Hebrews says, keep on looking to him. Fix your eyes on him. Consider him. Love him. Follow him. Serve him. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles. And friends, let us run with Jesus. Amen.